These are the droids you're looking for.
Over here!
Death Star alert.
You're looking for.
This is madness.
It blew my mind when I read about it.
No, it's 100% going to be the best film in the franchise.
This is madness.
Star Wars is only now starting.
Did you hear that? Did you hear that?
These are the droids you're looking for.
Did you hear that? Did you hear that? You talking about
the droids I felt looking nauseous for. With just pure excitement.
These are the droids you're looking for.
Why isn't it December 15th already?
And then I saw the Porg for the first time speaking.
And I'll tell you what, it really whets the appetite.
These are the droids you're looking for.
This is madness.
Hello, everyone, and welcome into the Droids You're Looking For, a Star Wars podcast. Alongside Chris and Ryan, I am Mike. Sadly, we are not joined by Sam this time, but we'll get him in on another podcast shortly. A lot of news to talk about, but not about what we really want to get into, which is more discussion of the films. We need to talk, guys, about what's going on with the Star Wars fan base, because there's been many different discussions that have been brought up as of late, not just in the way that they've been treating the actors, but the way that they've been acting online. The fan base as a whole has this certain perception that is now becoming a big part of the conversation anytime you talk about the Star Wars fan base, and it's something that we need to address, and I think we all have a lot of thoughts on this, but I think the first thing that I want to say is that I think the thing that shouldn't be happening is putting everyone under the umbrella of, oh, Star Wars fans have done this. It's really a faction, a subset of Star Wars fans who have resulted in some of the hate-filled, bleak parts of this that we all are upset by and don't want to see be part of the franchise. I think there's something a bit of painting with too wide a brush to include all Star Wars fans as an issue, because like anything in life, there are degrees, there are variations, it's not everyone involved that is an issue and having a problem. There's a lot of great fans out there that we love talking to, that we're happy to have as listeners here on the podcast, and then there are those who are causing some of these issues and filling the discussion about Star Wars with hate and ugly things that shouldn't be involved. And I just think that's something that I wanted to start this conversation out with.
Yeah, and this is obviously has been, continues to be a bigger cultural problem. Obviously, it's not isolated to Star Wars. However, we are a Star Wars podcast. we can't fix the whole world, but we have our little corner here.
It's even hit us, yes.
And it's an interesting thing because naively, I've liked to believe that this has been a more recent kind of thing that's occurred. And within Star Wars fandom, and obviously that's not true in terms of toxicity. So culturally, obviously, we're at a place where a lot of toxic people have been given a microphone to kind of say what they feel, and there's been a lot of muddied waters in terms of like things that are being said that are flat out racist, misogynistic, sexist, offensive, that people are taking as a quote unquote political stance, as if it's a legitimate political stance, and it is not. So that's one huge cultural problem that is also permeated into Star Wars fandom, obviously. But Star Wars fandom, to think that this is the first like outcropping of toxicity, you know, like it started with Ewoks, that was a little more benign, you know, when people were speaking against it. But like Jake Lloyd, who was 9 years old when they made The Phantom Menace, got like a huge thing. And like, I'm sure that if social media was a thing in 1999, that he would have been massively harassed. However, I do think that there, obviously this is predicated by the fact that Kelly Marie Tran left Instagram today, reportedly because of all the harassment she's received since The Last Jedi came out. And I have a hard time believing that Jake Lloyd would have received the level that she has received, because there, outside of Star Wars fandom, there is also laced in with her a sexism and racism that is very present, not just in our culture, but within the Star Wars fan community. Obviously, this is not everybody, but you know, there is a vocal, I'm hoping it's a very small minority, that is this toxic and loud about it. But it made it so that someone who's in a franchise that we love, who is a great part of the franchise that we love, that she had to remove herself, you know, from the public eye because she was receiving so much harassment. And that's just, she's not an isolated case, and neither is Star Wars, but it's a sad thing.
And I think what's also so tragic about this is that the Star Wars is always pushed
kind of the perception of hope versus against kind of the darkness and that thing. Mm-hmm. And the fact that it's being so affected in a real way really hurts. And I think with when you have somebody on screen that looks like you and you're a little kid and you look up to that, that's so powerful. And to kind of start to chip away at that, that's not a good thing.
And it's sad to be. I just think what we're losing in not having a presence. I mean, obviously Kelly Marie Tran's not going anywhere, but there's some enthusiasm, pure joy, and her, I don't know, just the bubble of joy that she seemed to bring to every aspect of the marketing campaign for The Last Jedi. Mm-hmm. Every time you saw her in an interview on the red carpet when she was at the Oscars, it just was that pure enthusiasm that I feel like all of us who love Star Wars would have. And to see that reflected in one of the actors or actresses in this series was so much fun and so joyful to see that. I had so much fun watching Kelly Marie Tran show herself. And I felt like the same thing when I watched Daisy Ridley and John Boyega after The Force Awakens. There was something about them in the initial press tour and in the film. There was a purity, and you can say that with anybody who's a new actor to a series like that, but you felt like that truly genuine and raw emotion and enthusiasm was there for all of them. And then as time went on and they're exposed to the world of fame, they become more jaded, which is understandable, but that has happened to Daisy Ridley. And part of the other news that we heard, and I think I did not know this from before, is that Daisy Ridley has been in therapy due to what she experienced from fans on social media and elsewhere where she was harassed. And that's just I don't know, it puts a big feeling of just dread and despair in my stomach when I hear that. I don't know. It just makes me sad.
And like, people will argue wrongfully that like there is a thing that people sign up for when they want to be in movies and celebrity. And like, the real version of that argument is that you are giving up a piece of your privacy because you are a public figure. And that's an unfortunate thing as well, but it's just the case. This is not that. This is not someone being famous and then dealing with like their life being different because of fame. This is people, actors, artists dealing with overt and loud racism, misogyny, and just ignorance. Like
straight
it's
up harassment.
It's, straight up. Thank you, Chris. It's straight up harassment, and it's like there's a lot of like people conflate sometimes that like people are trying to say that if you don't like you know, the new Star Wars movies or The Last Jedi or whatever, that you are one of these people. That is not the case. But like, the fact of the matter is a lot of these people are attaching to that and using it, and we've talked about it on the show before, using that as the fact that they hate The Last Jedi as for racist reasons, and they're trying to make it seem like they have legitimate reasons, and they don't. You know, there are legitimate reasons to not like a movie. If you think the Canto Bite sequence is unnecessary, I disagree, but that's a legitimate stance to have. But like, if you hate that there is a black lead or an Asian lead or a female lead in a Star Wars movie, that is not a legitimate stance to have. It just is not.
And it's a conversation that none of us thought we should be having in 2018 or would be having in 2018. It's this world that a few years ago would have been unimaginable and now is a reality every day.
And it only unimaginable, like it was, all of these people were there. It's just that now they feel empowered to spread their
they have some kind
stupid
of soundboard.
Opinions.
Yeah, and I mean, Mike, kind of going back to what you had just mentioned, it's like even as an adult 30-year-old man, I mentioned that like how positive an influence this stuff is for children and young people to see on screen. As a 30-year-old man, seeing like someone like Kelly Marie Tran like post on Instagram that like, here's me at the premiere of this movie, crazy, like living sort of vicariously through that kind of like her post and stuff like that is inspiring. And I don't think you have to be a kid to be inspired by that. And to have that removed is it's a really sad, unfortunate thing.
Yeah, because like what you're oh, I'm sorry, continue.
Go ahead.
Well, no, what I was gonna say is what you're saying is what we talked about when it was coming out, and it's like the meta version of how we feel about like Han Solo in A New Hope, where it's like they are us, they're being introduced to this world. She in the actual production was us, you know, and then like she had the character in the movie, so we talked about how exciting that was to watch. That's just us as fans of Star Wars. Can you imagine for a young girl or like a young Asian girl who is very rarely represented in these kinds of movies, how much more powerful of a of an experience that must be, and for mm-hmm. people to want to like snuff that out.
Yeah,
but you bring up a point, Ryan, that is so fair. It's something that I mean I can try to imagine, but I can't because I grew up with me being represented. My sure. background represented in every yeah. major film. So I can't even understand how powerful that is. It makes sense to me how much it would be. And I'm not like downplaying and saying it wouldn't, but it's something that because I've lived this privileged experience of every movie that I've loved, always having representation of what I feel I can place myself in that world, I really don't know what it's like to not see that.
Exactly. Like none yeah. of us can even imagine yeah. what that nope. must, how powerful that must be. And there are just people that have made it their purpose to like mm-hmm. make sure that other people don't right. feel that, and that's unacceptable.
Yeah, yeah, just it is. It is unacceptable, but I think if there's kind of a movie or a movie franchise, and just this is just kind of a pop culture take on it, if there is that kind of franchise, I think Star Wars is definitely. I mean, they have been pushing it with like the way these movies have been cast, and maybe you know what? Maybe they are trailblazing. Maybe this is going to be the one that's kind of like saying like, hey, this is going to be rough, but this is going to set the stage for other movies to come. And I do think since 2000, when was the casting announced? 2014, 2015?
Yeah, I think 2014.
Yeah, I do think since that there has been a shift in the way larger films have been cast. Generally, and I think that this might be some of the side effects of trailblazing, and it doesn't make it right. But Star Wars is and always has remained to be a beacon of hope. I mean, that's the main message behind this movie, right? Is that there is hope. So to our fans, just I say don't be discouraged as much as you possibly can't be, but. Remember, the key message here is the hope, right?
Well, and you make a really good point to me, Chris, which is what movies were these people watching? You know, I mean, right. the message of hope, the message of everything that Yoda had said in Empire, you know, the entire purpose and main themes of this series fly in the opposite direction of everything that these people stand for. And I guess that they saw it as simply cool action with a lightsaber and there was some violence and that's all that mattered to me. I didn't listen to that other hokey stuff about the Jedi religion. Right. I just cared about the action. And now you're telling mm-hmm. me that it's not about the action? I don't know what they watched.
Right.
Yeah. It's also that they're saying, you're telling me it isn't about me?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and it's yeah. just like, also that's like incredibly myopic. Yeah. To think yeah. that just be like, it's like, it's just incredibly myopic.
Yeah.
You know, and it's supposed to be inclusive. I think with the not that I think that Star Wars was made in its time. So I don't think that the older movies were necessarily progressive in terms of their casting in any way. But sure. since Disney has taken it, they've clearly been making a concerted effort to be representative. And you know, things to the Razzers out there, things don't go backwards. You know what I mean? It's like culturally we slip back and there are rougher times than others. And of course, but what I'm saying is like, if you really think that like that by harassing these people that like Kathy Kennedy is going to be like, you're right. We need to only cast white men.
Right.
Again.
Right. Yeah.
Like one from a humanity standpoint, that would be absurd. Yeah. From a fiscal standpoint, like yeah. in terms of diversity and like representation on screen, Black Panther made $700 million domestically. So like, even if you think that like it's not the right thing to do for the world, which of course representation is the right thing to do for the world, like from a fiscal standpoint, it's also right. insane not to be representative.
Right. Yeah. Any producers listening?
So, yeah. It's just, you know, it was, I also want to say that Rian Johnson has been really speaking up all day on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
Like he's not been shying away from addressing this. He's not been wishy-washy about it. I saw him like really get into it with a fan, like cursing at him and telling him that like telling the fan that like what you think is like you're passing off, like critique, I forget his exact wording, but the fan was being obviously misogynistic, and Rian Johnson was like, don't try to like claim that your misogyny is criticism. It's not the same thing. He's just been really going to bat.
Rian Johnson has been someone that I admired, been impressed by, loved as an artist for a long time, and this entire situation has put him in a different light to me, because now I see him as somebody who, I don't even know the best way to say it, but can handle this better than anyone else. As in, I wish I had the mental fortitude that he does to be able to respond, to be able to deal with these people and not have it get to him. And maybe it is. He has been interviewed at times where he says it hasn't really been something that he's allowed to change him or influence him. But I'm just so impressed with his level-headed response to all of this. And I always get sad when I see the way people are treating him and the way that they continue to speak about him. But then I'm reminded of the fact that he's not letting that in and not letting that change who he is in his relation to his films and relation to Star Wars, that I'm so impressed with him for that.
Right.
And it also shows that he means it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You
know, he's not just like doing PR spin. He clearly means it.
Well, you can see in his film.
Yeah. On the line. Yeah.
His film means it, because I saw someone on Twitter had put together a poll of the number of speaking lines that was within the Bechdel test in Star Wars films, and it ended up being about 43% of the scenes were with women that were not talking about a male character. 43% of the scenes in The Last Jedi. That's the most of any Star Wars film, and that didn't surprise me at all, because Rian Johnson cast a movie that actually reflects the world we live in.
Just to plug another podcast that has nothing to do with us, but he and Karina Longworth, who's a brilliant film critic, and they've been partners for a long time, life partners. they were on David Chang's podcast, where they were speaking about just the nature of criticism, and it's a great listen. I recommend it to everybody. And David Chang actually talks about how when he first saw The Last Jedi, he didn't really get it, and he's very open about it. It's a really interesting talk, and Rian and Karina are both, like, brilliant people, and David Chang as well. They're just, like, all brilliant people speaking about a very interesting topic, so I recommend it. I'll take my check.
Way to go, cash it in. Yeah, I mean, I think it's important to talk about this, especially it's something if this is seeping into something like this tiny little corner of Star Wars, even though it's probably the biggest movie franchise in the world, whatever, if it's now on this level where we have to discuss it on this pod, it's upsetting. And I think if the takeaway here is that participating in this kind of behavior, it's harassment. There's nothing. That's what this is. It is not. It's a completely negative thing. But that voice, you gotta get squashed. You're done.
Yeah. Also, also just to say, like, as Mike touched on, like, we're all coming from a very specific, like, privileged standpoint on this.
Sure.
And, you know, like, if anyone's listening, like, we'd love to hear what you have to think, because, like, our experience is only our own, and we'd love to hear what other people's experiences are, you know, like, if we've said anything that's ringing, like, really wrong or off base or anything like that, you know, unless you're a person who likes to harass Kelly Marie Tran or anybody like that, we don't care to hear from you, but if you're a well-meaning person and feels that, like, we really missed the point on something, or we have a huge blind spot with something, a whole part of this conversation that we're missing, please write in. Let us know. Like, we'd love to hear from you.
Please send us an email, droidspod@gmail.com. You can even, if you want, record an audio file on your phone, send that to us on Gmail. We'd love to play it in the show. Send us a tweet, droidspod, as well as on Facebook, droidspod. We'd love to hear from you. We want different perspectives. We want to hear what your perception is of everything that's happening, and how, you know, you feel that Star Wars has been improved for the better. And as Rian said, if you don't feel like it has, we don't want to hear from you. And you could probably just unsubscribe.
If you're a person who is writing in and in any way defending harassment of another human being, don't write in and stop listening to our podcast.
There you go. There you go.
We kind of touched on it a little bit before, but I kept on being surprised how many people who are in the Star Wars fan community were writing, this isn't the Star Wars fandom that I knew, you know, the Star Wars fandom from back in the day, which, as you brought up before, Ryan, the way they harassed Jake Lloyd and the response, this has always been part of the franchise, always been part of the fandom, and it just hasn't had the microphone and hasn't had the voice that now social media gives anybody with these unhealthy points of view to actually be able to get their vision out there. And it's reflected in all aspects of our lives, not just in Star Wars. But it does, it's just one of those things where there's failings throughout so many different aspects of our culture that have resulted in this. And there's just simply no good and quick solution to any of it. And it's something that, you know, now that the I don't know, the curtain has fallen, there's no easy way out of this. This is going to be a reality in all forms of our culture for a long time going forward. The thing that you hope is there's enough of a response that it can in some way drown out these minority voices that are being so loud in terms of the minority hate-filled voices that are out there.
Absolutely. And I think that, I mean, and that's something that kind of the magic of cinema, and I'm not trying to make light of the situation or anything, but I think that's something that the magic of movies and books and television that have a positive message. I think that is something that helps people that are on the light side of things, the good side. I think something like Star Wars is hopefully can help transcend that negativity.
It is the escapism, or it should be. And unfortunately, some of our escapism is being encroached on by a lot of people who, you know, don't necessarily deserve to have their voice heard if this is what they want to say.
So, Kelly Marie Tran, the droids you're looking for, a Star Wars podcast, loves you.
We got your back.
We got your back.
Unabashed love.
Please come back to Instagram, but if you don't want to, we completely understand.
So I had something I wanted to say, which is, one of my initial instincts to this, I think, was way off base, and I'm curious what you all think, which is that, you know, wouldn't it be great if Instagram just, you know, eliminated some of these comments? Obviously, they could police this way better, but they could, if you're a celebrity, you would just turn the comments off, and you could still do what you wanted without the comments, and there's no reason. That was my first instinct. Then I took a step back, and I said, why would you say that anybody should not be able to do all the things that normal people do on a social media platform? Because they're a celebrity who's going to be a target of this, and they should miss out on the fun of interacting with fans and having comments on their posts and being able to engage with people. That is in no way the way this should be, and I feel like that's a solution that seemed like it was easy, but in no way would actually solve the problem. If anything, it just deprives people of the way they should be able to use these platforms.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's side effects are just, it's crazy. It's bizarre. I mean, we kind of hinted at something just like similar to this earlier in the year with the backlash from The Last Jedi, and it's just like it's a bummer to see, and we should we're gonna fight against it though.
That's right.
I think one of the things that I always think of, and I know that, you know, Roger Ebert is not always held in the highest esteem, but I have always been a big fan of Roger Ebert. He always talked about film as the great empathy machine. And going back to what I was talking about before, about what were you watching if you didn't come away from Star Wars feeling like, you know, there's truth and justice and the right thing to do in the world and in the galaxy is treating people fairly. I don't know what movie you were watching. Is that I feel like if you can't accept something like The Last Jedi, then how can you ever empathize with other people? Because most people won't go see the independent cinema that truly reflects real life of people of all different walks of life. So if you are going to get that in a blockbuster, maybe it's at least something that you can find a way to empathize with people who are not yourself and actually grow and learn from that. And I wish that that was the case. Unfortunately, anybody with this kind of vitriol in their heart is not going to learn anything from what is the great path to empathy, which is film.
There you go. There you go.
Dire times.
Wow. The droids get serious. I like it. No, it's important that we have these discussions and we're open for it. And like I reiterate what Ryan said, if you have a take on this, a viewpoint, something that we're missing, please write in. Let us know. We'll keep the discussion going for as long as it takes.
And we look forward to having Sam back to give his point of view as well, because we know that Sam has a perspective on this also. But until we do have Sam return, Chris, you did not get a chance. As we move back into lighter fare, back into what we like to do on this podcast, which is talk about Star Wars movies. Right. We haven't discussed everything about Solo, A Star Wars Story. You weren't able to join us on the last podcast. I want to kick off a little bit more of this discussion about the Kessel Run sequence. We didn't talk about it in our last show, not much. But I continue to reflect on it and really, really love the way that they executed that, even if it doesn't quite make sense what the Kessel Run is. I mean, they could have done that better. But I still like the sequence.
Yeah, you know what?
Technically, it's not the Kessel Run what they do. They do like the Kessel Escape. Adjacent.
Oh, okay. When it happened, when it was over, I was like, "Was that it?" Like, I didn't quite know what I had just seen, and I accepted. I was like, "Oh, that must have been it. Cool." But like, when they were out of it, I was like, "Oh, they're done with the place that they needed to go through." Like, I didn't realize that right away because they kind of flew into it, right? And then they flew out the same way. I think that sequence is pretty amazing, and I really like I've been seeing a lot of memes how they tie the new droid with like the ship and like the comments in A New Hope, or like the ship has an interesting dialect and stuff like that. I think that's pretty great. I like that that came out of that time. I like that that has that that's the adventure that caused everybody to talk about it. The sequence was phenomenal. I'm glad we got a little Empire action in there, like a little bit of some TIE fighter fights. I enjoyed that aspect, but I didn't realize what it was until it was over.
I just want to say on the topic of the Kessel run sequence, while I haven't been overly enthusiastic about Solo, I still did enjoy it. And I got to tell you, I love that big space monster. Big space monster.
Was great.
It was so cool.
Now I get why you love the Phantom Menace.
because of the big sea monster.
Exactly.
There's always a bigger fish.
I love big monsters. I love big monsters. And in terms of the, obviously in the Phantom Menace, but in terms of the chronology, we haven't seen big monster of that scale since the puppet worm in the asteroid belt.
This is true. Actually, it is kind of a funny motif that they have him going through. Like, he always interacts with some kind of giant creature.
They even use the asteroid belt theme in there.
Because then, guess what he's hauling? He's hauling Rathtars later on.
Do we think that was a
Han Solo should stay away?
A fully grown Rathtar? I mean, I'm sure it was.
I don't think Rathtars so. I think that was a baby. Small. I think that was a baby Rathtar, to be honest.
Do you think that it was a crossover and that it was Reptar?
Oh, the elusive Nickelodeon Star Wars crossover.
We've all been looking for it. They did say, I got to get back. I owe a lot of money to Tommy Pickles.
Hey, you know what? Throw them all in the same movie. Put Batman in there, Superman, Spider-Man, whatever. Put them all in the same one.
Yeah, people start calling each other Squid.
You know what's funny, though, is... So, a lot of news about the Solo box office, obviously.
By the way, I almost nailed it. Last episode, yes. I said it would make $25 million second weekend, and it made like 29. So, Price is Right rules, I'm taking home the jet ski.
That's the second time I heard that phrase, Price is Right rules. I think that... Do you know what's funny? So I heard that number, and I'm like, why is nobody going to see this movie? And I realized, as I'm thinking this thought, I have not seen this movie twice, which is, and I think since Phantom Menace, I would have seen like six times by this point in time of a Star Wars being released. There's something that had happened that I have not seen this movie more than once, and I don't know, like, I didn't think about that until right now. I was like, no wonder why it's not making any movie. People like me... probably aren't going to see it more than... Have you guys seen it more than once?
Chris, I saw Mike it right did. Away.
I did not yet. Chris, is this the first time since the Disney purchase that you haven't bought, like in advance, bought multiple tickets opening weekend?
Yeah.
I mean, because Mike, you covered us with the, you got us our tickets. You were like in the digital line.
I mean, don't show too much of the backstage of the droids.
Yeah, I don't want to say.
Don't give away the secrets.
I got some pretzel bites at the theater on the droids budget.
Join our Patreon.
But I was just thinking about that the other day. It was like, there's been something that's just like, I enjoyed the movie immensely, but it just didn't feel like something I had seen Rogue One like 4 times in I think 48 hours.
Did you feel tremendous guilt though that like this is mostly your fault?
You know what? I started feeling that now because like everyone I talk to is like, "Did you see Solo?" I'm like, "Yeah, I love it. Go see it." And then I'm like, "Why haven't I seen it again?" Well, maybe that's just a normal human thing to do when you go see a movie, you don't see it 4 times in 2 days. Maybe I'm becoming normal.
We shouldn't throw around words. It's like normal. But
not normal. Not normal.
I don't know. This says a lot about Solo, though, Chris. Not only that you didn't think about it ahead of time, but then you saw the movie and didn't want to rush back out and see it. Also, it might have something to do with getting a little bit older. I think all of us have a few more real life responsibilities, whereas we used to be able to go see something multiple times because we didn't really have to do anything in our 20s.
Sure. Right.
I mean, I don't really have anything to do, but I'm just really tired. Yeah, but guys, is it Star Wars fatigue? Is Star Wars over?
See, this is where I was trying to go. I'm a little worried about the Star Wars fatigue.
Are you?
It's not over. No, it can't be. I mean, we run a weekly podcast.
Do you remember
podcast.
When everybody was worried about Marvel fatigue?
Yeah.
That was around... like, people were worried about Marvel fatigue around Thor 1.
Like,
that was
just
8 years ago.
There's just too many of them.
There's too many of them for me to watch them all multiple times.
No, let's
times
do
opening
18.
Weekend.
Let's make it 18 more of them.
I'll tell you what I have is Deadpool fatigue.
Yeah. Maybe it was just like... maybe there's just too much. I think pairing it so close to the Avengers may have been tricky.
Chris, hey, Ryan, are you getting the feeling, Ryan, that Chris didn't listen to the last pod?
That was what I was going to say the other day. I listened to the Droids You're Looking For podcast, and I only listened to it once. And it's like, I didn't want to listen to it again.
Here's the thing. I'll never be able to quit my day job if everybody doesn't listen to the Droids You're Looking For multiple times on multiple machines with full downloads.
I'll tell you what. Even if you're not listening to it, just load it up, put it on loop for 10, 12 hours a day. So you can turn the volume down. That helps us.
We got to get that Blue Apron sponsorship.
It'll change our lives.
Yeah.
I want to go back to the Kessel Run for a second because one of the things I loved most about it was when they did fail with a little bit of coaxium and the entire ship shuts down because I was bought in. I didn't think anybody was going to die, but I did think that they were going to be sucked into that, you know, wormhole that was pulling them in, and I didn't know where they would end up on the other side. But I bought it.
Oh, my God. Imagine if they went through the wormhole and they came out and it was like Harrison Ford, Billy Dee Williams. That'd be cool.
That would be.
Amelia Clarke, I guess, would
be
a skeleton.
They'd be on their space porch talking about the good old days.
That'd be fun.
The movie you've always wanted, Chris.
That's the movie I always wanted.
All of them getting sucked into a wormhole going, I'm okay to go. I'm okay to go. That's a Contact reference for anybody who's not super well-versed in 1997 Robert Zemeckis films.
Love that movie.
Great movie.
I just thought the timing, though, of all of that worked really well because there's Donald Glover, there's Lando where he's going, and then it cuts.
Yeah.
And they make the drop and then it you know, actually falls, hits into hyperspace, and I thought it was great.
Yeah, that was a good beat. I liked it.
It's a very good beat.
I think we talked about Darth Maul in our initial reaction podcast.
Okay, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Anything more that we maybe didn't get to touch on about that cameo? The cool thing was Ray Park did reprise Darth Maul. The voice was done by, and I'm not remembering his name. It starts with an S, but he's the one who's done the voice throughout the entire Clone Wars series as well as Rebels and was the lead of the Force Unleashed video game.
Oh, that's cool.
He's the one who's been doing the voice of Darth Maul, and
did he do the voice in Phantom Menace, or was that Ray Park's voice?
That I think was Ray Park's voice because he spoke so infrequently in that movie.
Sure,
he sounded so much like Toad. How could he not?
So I just thought I liked that aspect of it. And again, another kind of wink at everybody who's paid attention to the Clone Wars and Rebels is that actor doing the voice again, because that was such a beloved part of those two animated series was his work. And I'm going to look up his name because I feel bad that I haven't been able to bring it up yet.
Sure.
But it was great that they had him do the role.
I love it. I love it that part of these Disney films is legitimizing extended universe and prequels. Like it gave me the same feeling that when in Rogue One, like Jimmy Smith shows up, as Organa, and you're like, oh, cool! Like they're acknowledging this happened. Or in The Force Awakens, where they talk about a clone army, or even, and you're like, they're using the whole thing.
Yep,
they're Rogue playing also, all the keys on the keyboard.
Mon Mothma with just like a deleted scene cameo.
Yeah,
Sam Witwer. Cool. Is the actor
Sam Witwer. I think I don't know if it's been mentioned, but what's interesting about the Darth Maul cameo is that the studio basically, I guess, gave the option, said like, hey, do you want to have a cameo in this? And there's a few characters that were on the table, and apparently Lawrence Kasdan's son was pushing for Darth Maul because he knew there was like the Clone Wars fan base and the kind of the Rebels fan base. And so he was really, really happy that they got Darth Maul in there. He just thought it was like a character. Everyone has always said, even when we did the Phantom rewatch, that's like they killed Darth Maul, like the best thing they had going for it.
I thought I also saw that Lawrence Kasdan's reaction was Darth who?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, he's
and then when he said from The Phantom Menace, he said, they made three more of those? He had no idea. He had no idea. Yeah.
He doesn't know.
He
doesn't know.
He doesn't own a TV.
He doesn't know. He doesn't own a TV.
Just sounds like something.
We talked a little bit about space creatures and giant space monsters, but were there any other
creatures?
I do
think they exist. Thank you for asking, Mike. I do think that there are aliens.
Yes, I do. Yeah.
Is this one of the reasons why you're always fearing death, Ryan? That you think that one of them is going to bite you clean, whole, killed?
This is a real story. And Mike, I'll let you get to your real question. I'm sorry to derail. I watched an alien invasion show on Sci-Fi, one of those documentaries things, like, you know, I'm putting it in quotes, when I was in fourth grade, and I slept with the windows closed. No matter how hot it was, there was no air conditioning in my room. Straight through high school because I was afraid that the aliens would be able to get into my room.
Yeah.
As if after intergalactic travel that my two little windows in Holtzville would really stop them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, to answer your question, Mike, I think they are connected.
If you want a window into a very similar childhood experience, I basically hid myself under my bed every Halloween because I thought that this was a night that I could be, you know, any kind of creature or ghoul would get me, because everyone told me that that's the one night of the year that they can actually come and be back on the real plane of Earth. So I hid myself every single Halloween and then had a big sigh of relief when Halloween was over.
They said, that's Mike. He's famously afraid of ghouls.
Hey, if any creatures, ghouls, or aliens are listening to the pod, we'd love to know what you think. Write in.
I lost my train of thought now. I don't know what I was actually going to bring up.
Oh, no.
No, I got it now.
Yeah.
So many times we talk about the amazing creatures in Star Wars that are designed, new creatures that we see, whether it be what the Sirens in The Last Jedi and how they designed them. Other than Therm Scissorpunch, who didn't really get enough of a feature in this movie, was there any other creatures that you really, you know, were memorable to you in watching this?
Wait, who was Therm Scissorpunch? I remember the name, but now I'm realizing I don't know who he was.
He sat right next to Lando, and they just barely showed he or she.
Oh, at the Sabacc?
At the Sabacc table, yep.
Yes, he or she, Therm Scissorpunch. Was he or she the one with the big, like, the eyes, the antenna eyes?
Well, yes, but...
You can't see it, but I'm doing it with my hands right now. Like all real monsters.
Right.
The big eyes and then obviously claws as well. But then there were also, there was a two-headed beast that was sitting there, a two-headed little red beast that was next to Lando on the other side. I did like the creature that we've seen before in other Star Wars films that had something like eight eyes and one of them was on Han Solo's hand in Sabacc. I thought that was good. I enjoyed that moment.
That was a very funny bit.
But there wasn't as many creatures in this that I... And I guess we talked a little bit about Rio. He was a new creature that we saw in this, and Jon Favreau did no favors to him. But that was kind of the limit of the creatures that we saw.
Right. I like the kind of the two-headed guy. With the eight eyes. Is that who you were describing?
There was a one-headed like guy with eight eyes, and then
oh
a,
yeah,
yeah,
yep. And there's a two-headed guy with eight eyes. I like that we saw other other Wookiees. That's yep. pretty cool. I haven't seen that in a while. I like the guys that kind of looked like they were from the most recent movie version of Hitchhiker's Guide. They had like the weird hoods and the kind of the alien mask faces.
The miners of Kessel.
Yeah, those things look pretty neat. I like the idea that kind of that somebody reminded me a lot of Grievous. One of the creatures like had a similar like cadence, the way they talked, and like the voice was kind of modulated.
Was it the one that was dripping from the front that actually might have been. Kira interacted with when they first arrived on Kessel?
That might have been it.
Kira,
yeah.
It's good to see you.
That's my Grievous.
That's your Grievous. Yeah. That's pretty good.
Come look General. At my stamp collection.
That's my Grievous. Sorry, guys.
And
that's
it,
my
did you
Grievous.
Notice? His name's escaping me. The main villain.
Dryden Vos.
Yes. Was his face changing?
I was wondering that too. Was it getting
the articulation
darker when he got
line?
Mad? It did.
That's what I thought was going on.
That's very subtle, almost to the point of being pointless.
Which, Ryan, you brought up before that there was odd pacing and the kind of the tone in that first scene with Dryden where he's setting up the mission and talking to them about what they're going to do. And you look back on that, and I guess they could have shot part of it before with Lord and Miller, but all of that included Paul Bettany, who was only part of the reshoots, so it shouldn't have had such a weird tone to it because it was with that actor and Ron Howard directing all of it. I guess though some of those inner cut moments could have been from scenes that were shot of a say an ISO shot of somebody when it was still being done with Michael K. Williams with Lord and Miller.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Oh
because
wow!
Because of course,
I never thought
if Ron
of that.
Howard had directed the whole thing, it would have been perfect.
Yeah.
Well, you can say one thing: his pacing is usually the same throughout movies, as you talked about. He's apt. He's coherent. He doesn't have.
Yeah, it's usually pretty steady.
Yeah.
It usually his movies are like really steady, and then like Clint Howard shows up and it like stops dead for like 3 seconds.
Which, by the way,
3 seconds to 5 minutes, yeah. And then it usually gets going again.
I loved Ryan that you said initially. You were like, "Wow, that was like a 4 minute scene with Clint Howard in the movie." It's not
it
even
just
that
felt like
1 minute.
Yeah, it just felt like 4 minutes.
That's nice. I had forgot all about it. I was gonna be surprised again on the second time I see it.
Super stoked. You'd be the one who broke out into applause again in the theater when you saw Clint Howard.
Woo! I hope he's in every Star Wars movie from here on out.
Between you clapping for Clint Howard and Mike trembling saying, I hope there's no ghouls in this movie.
Man, I shouldn't have brought that up.
Experience. It's quite an experience.
That only lasted till I was like 7 years old. Give me a break.
Yeah.
I was afraid of all the aliens. I was afraid they were going to jump through the screen and abduct me.
Which is interesting because Star Wars is aliens.
Yeah, I just don't
Star
want to
Wars
get
Star Wars is aliens.
Well, you can write in your greatest fears to us here on the Droids You're Looking For, a Star Wars
we'll
podcast.
We'll be sure to mention them.
I think that's going to pretty much do it for this edition of the pod. But in all seriousness, we do want to hear from all of you about your perspectives on Star Wars fandom and representation in these films. Let us know. Send us an email, droidspod@gmail.com, Twitter, Facebook as well, droidspod. We'd love to hear from you. And let us know about your experience and what you want to see in these films going forward, unless you're someone who doesn't believe in equality and you're a racist. Don't email us.
Well said.
Agreed.
Yeah. And I think with Solo out now, we have a little bit of a time gap between now and episode 9, right?
Yeah, we're not sweating it.
So with that being said, something to look forward to over the next few weeks. We're going to start having guests on. So listen to those. listen to all of them.
We might have our friend Sam back one day.
Yeah, we'll see.
We'll see. That will do it for the Droids You're Looking For, a Star Wars podcast.
Just kidding, Sam.
These are the droids you're looking for.
This is madness.